Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. It's the conclusion to the letter. Finally, it begins, which tells us it's the conclusion. But before we consider what the conclusion has to teach us today, we need to have some understanding of the context of Ephesus and the audience to whom it was written. Ephesus was a place with a long and illustrious history. Evidence from occupation from the Bronze Age, and during Roman times, it was regarded as the major city of the Asian part of the empire. Archaeological evidence indicates it was a structured city, the commercial centre, sporting and entertainment facilities, possibly even a school for medicine. It's also a port, and therefore a great deal of trade passed through the city. Like most major cities even today, those who lived in the city came from many different places, and this led to an assortment of different gods being worshipped. The Egyptian god Isis, the Greek gods Dionysus, Aphrodite, alongside Jewish worship of Yahweh. But one of the most famous things that Ephesus was remembered for was its close association with Artemis. The Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, was a dominant feature of the city. Of course, we know about the importance of Artemis because of Acts chapter 19. Where the increase of people following Jesus leads to a riot among those who fear a loss of income as they work as silversmiths of Artemis. But also in that same chapter, we hear of Paul spending time in the synagogue, where some came to believe while others refused. Later on in chapter 19 of Acts, we also read this. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. Ephesus was what could be described as a diverse and cosmopolitan city. It's into this context the letter is written, enabling those Christians to live lives with Jesus at the very centre of who they are and how they live. So the first three chapters of the letter can be described as an extended account of what it means to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Strength and power in this situation are not physical, intellectual, or even emotional qualities. They are spiritual qualities. Strength and power are needed because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness of this world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Isn't it the same today? The world in which we live can be a very dark place. There are individuals and nations living in poverty. There's conflict and strife amongst families and nations. There's greed. We live in a throwaway society where people and things are not valued as they should. There are people who are involved in activities which are not healthy to body, mind, or spirit. This last week I was reading about the church's response to Halloween. I know people have many different views on this. Harmless fun, what's all the fuss? But for our children, encouraging an interest in death, in the macabre, in blood and destruction, Is that healthy? There's the whole safety element of trick and treating for both those who knock on doors and those who are knocked on. Every other day of the year, we wouldn't allow it to happen. So why on this day? And then there's the commercialisation of the day. The amount of money spent is absolutely staggering. How then do we respond to the darkness of this world? It begins with knowing what God has given. In Ephesians chapters 1 to 3, we read words like this: adoption, forgiveness, glorious inheritance, great love, members of God's household, freedom, confidence. Are those not words of hope, of light? It's only the starting point, as we are compelled to bring God's light into the world. And that's what the second element of the letter addresses. In the conclusion, it's summed up with the analogy of armour. But chapters 4 to 6, verse 9, are concerned with how we live life under the rule and reign of Jesus. The example: the breastplate of righteousness is talking about right living. Be imitators of God. There must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. The way in which we live life must reflect the light. Our faith cannot be true if we live in ways which we try to hide from others and from God. Of course, none of us are perfect. And there is always forgiveness to be found in Jesus. But we need to be reminded to look at how we live and to consider if what we are doing and saying and being is reflecting the light of Christ. I was thinking about this and thinking of how much more today in our culture than in the past. Remember when we used to have Sunday best? Certain clothes that only came out on Sunday and which prevented us from doing other things which we were normally allowed to do. It's different now, and I'm not sure we would really want to return to those days. But as people of faith, we need to ensure that we don't hold on to a holier-than-thou attitude, but that we are honest about our sin and our weakness. So, we're encouraged in our reading to stand our ground, to stand firm. It's the armour of God which enables us to withstand, to resist, to overcome, to oppose those things which take us away from the light. Sitting down can suggest being passive. I know you are listening. I can tell you are being active listeners at the moment, so I'm not suggesting you're not listening, but sitting down does have a sense about being passive. To stand suggests we are active and responsive. The armour of God gives all we need to face and overcome the darkness of this world. A very quick run through of the armour of God. The belt of truth, quite simply the truth of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. We heard in our gospel reading Peter declaring who Jesus was. That is the belt of truth. So I've already said the breastplate of righteousness, right living, which protects our heart. Feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Knowing the good news of Jesus and willing to share his peace in our world. shield of faith. Not one of those tiny round shields, but a great big door-like shield. Does mean it's difficult to see behind sometimes. I don't know if you've seen those reenactments of Roman soldiers in a tortoise-like position. Got some nods. If not, go home and Google it. The shield is as tall as they are, and they march not being able to see where they're going because somebody behind is telling them where to go. We haven't got Jesus behind us. Jesus is in front of us, by the side of us, inside of us, around us, showing us and leading us in the way to go. It says, take the helmet of salvation. Salvation is the gift that God has given to his world. Finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's sitting at the end of the pew. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit, but it's only useful if we read it and allow the Spirit to work in us and through us. I just want to see if there's any of those Bible reading notes at the back of church. No, they're in the parish office. We will go and get them. They might be up in the corner, actually, over there. There's some Bible reading notes. They help us to be able to read God's word. If you don't have a way of doing that, take them and see if that helps you to get into reading on a regular basis God's word. I was going to ask Susie, do you know sword drill? Does that mean anything to you? No. You remember sword drill, don't you? Where is it? It was something that Scripture Union, I think it was, literally, the way in which we dive into the Bible is we sheath our sword, we put it there, we draw our sword, and then knowing where we're going in our Bible, we open it, physically open it and read it. It's God's living word to each one of us and to this world. That's a whistle-stop tour through the armour of God. Because we need to pick up the final element of the conclusion. Prayer is a key element of this whole book. Time and time again, we hear of prayer for the readers. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Prayer enables us to know how to respond to the darkness of the world. It's a life-giving activity which we all need to take part in and to be encouraging of one another. Prayer is one of the most simple, but also complex things we do as Christians. Prayer is about setting time aside to be in communion with God, talking and listening. It's also about the busyness of the day, suddenly remembering God in what we are doing. Also crying out as we are aware of people and situations, including ourselves who are in need. As my daughter would say, I'm fully aware it's a subject I keep banging on about. But prayer is important. Not because I've got it sorted, but because I think it's one of the most underused gifts which we have been given. Can I therefore encourage you to pray? Well, you talked about Halloween. We're planning on having a light party here in church for our children and young people, where we, rather than focus on the darkness, it'll be an opportunity to hear the gift of Jesus, the light of the world. Please, even now, be praying for the children and young people who will come along. Pray for our mission partners as they daily put on the armour of God and proclaim Jesus to those they serve. Pray for yourselves and for one another. I think my favourite verses in the whole of the Bible are to be found in Ephesians. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In conclusion, the conclusion reminds us power and strength come through Jesus, enabling him to be glorified. We're called to be engaged in his mission and to know that we have access through prayer. How about reading through Ephesians this week? Reflect on it for yourself. Pray as you reflect and read. What's God saying to you about the book of Ephesians? And let's talk. Come back to me about it. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you that you are the power and the strength. We thank you that you are the one who has overcome all the darkness of this world. Help us to be people who live in the light of you. Help us to acknowledge before you those areas of our life where we are still a work in progress. And help us to come to you in prayer. We ask all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.